The 2025 NFL Draft is officially in the books, and by most, if not all accounts, the New England Patriots absolutely crush it. Or did they? We think so. Your old pals Nick Fitzy-Stevens and the real John Lyons are here to talk about who they took, why they took them, where they took them. Is there someone else they should have taken? We're all taken. We're all shook. Because it's in the Draftermath right now that you get your latest six rings in football things. Let's party.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
I'll tell you, I'm not sure if I have come down from the cloud nine that is the Patriots Hall from the 2025 draft, nor the mania that I experienced that led me to actually call into WEEI on Friday night and talk to Christian Arcand and the real John Lyons, who was kind enough during a Red Sox rain delay to hop on the old microphone and talk football for 4 hours during rounds two and three. Night two, always my favorite part of the draft. Welcome to the Draftermath, everybody. It's Fitzy and Lyons here on the latest Six Rings and Football Things. Happy to have you. We're going to do a quick little half-hour pod here reviewing who the Patriots selected, why we think they took them, our favorite picks, who we thought they might have taken, and what's next for your favorite Foxborough football team. Thanks, as always, for watching live. If you're on our socials on Sunday as we record this before the Celtics game, because, of course, we're all going to be locked into Game 4 and who Orlando is going to savagely beat down next. If you're listening to this, thanks very much. Make sure you tell your friends, use the Odyssey app to listen at your leisure or subscribe via Spotify or Apple Pods. Johnny, just give me that first little taste. I haven't talked to you since the draft. We were just planning on the pod. Your sentence or favorite descriptive for talking about this draft is?
Well, Fitzy, if those watching this show on social media right now have the joy of seeing me record on my wife's 2017 MacBook laptop because my computer's broken, which ironically is probably the best draft the Patriots have had since my wife bought this computer in 2017. I think they did a really good job. Obviously, Will Campbell's the headliner. I think they did well on day two. Jared Wilson at 95 might be my favorite pick in the entire draft they had. Braden Swinson on day three is really interesting. A little bit of risk in there, but it feels like they had a coherent strategy along the way. And frankly, they brought in some really good football players, whether it's Travion Henderson, Will Campbell, even Craig Woodson, who, you know, we can talk about later whether that was a little bit of a reach or not, but still good football player. And I think we're starting to see what the 2025 Patriots are going to look like, obviously, but this is a clue into 2026 and 2027 as well.
Yeah. I think the Patriots, so universally, I've seen guys like Mike Renner. I've seen ESPN. I saw Bleacher Report, and it's silly. It should be noted that it's silly to grade a draft initially, but everybody has to because they haven't played a single snap. They haven't even actually made the team and they haven't impacted a game, in one way, shape or form. These are just superficial, I would say barely after takeoff, not even 10,000 foot grades, John. That being said, I've seen the Patriots lumped in there with the New York Football Giants and a couple other teams universally and consistently getting A's for their drafts because they found impactful football players, talented guys. They read the board accordingly. They filled all of their needs. Or so it seems. Maybe not with some of the guys that you wanted and influenced me to want. Maybe not with all the guys I wanted. But then again, and here's your first Ladd McConkey reference to Jeff Stenberg and everyone else watching or listening right now. I think not only did I think this was a home run for Vrabel, a home run for Cowden, a home run for Stryker, but also a bit of an Elliott Wolf redemption tour as well, because by selecting Kyle Williams, one of the receivers I most definitely wanted. Now, he wasn't Jalen Noel. That's okay. but he still is an impactful player, and I think he's going to be excellent on this team. We'll get to that in a minute. But also, by selecting the person I most wanted on the Patriots this year, Ohio State running back and pass protection machine, Travion Henderson, I'm borderline starting to think that I might forgive the Wolf of Ball Street for the crime he committed in 2024.
Yeah, look, I don't think we had any instances of them trading down and missing on a guy like Ladd McFitzy last year. So I look at the way they especially approach day two. Like Travion Henderson, and you hit the nail on the head, might be the best pass-blocking running back in the draft, which is, believe it or not, a really important thing. But also,
yeah, funny enough, how that's actually something people underestimate. Antonio Gibson, much better at it than Ramondre Stevenson, and I'm sure Vrabel saw all the film on that as well.
And also, let's not forget, Ramondre Stevenson's rookie year, one of the reasons he had trouble getting on the field early is that was an area that he struggled. So this can help Henderson get on the field pretty quickly. And I think with Henderson, too, the big thing is the long speed. And this is something, and Kyle Williams has that as well. They haven't had a long speed guy, especially in the running back room, in a very long time. And go back and look at the Texas game, the semifinal, right before halftime, has a 75-yard catch and run touchdown. I mean, this is a dude that, when he gets to the second level, he can run away from people. And again, like I said, the Patriots just haven't had that in their running back room in a long time. And Kyle Williams brings an element of that, I think, as well in the receiver room. I think Kyle Williams is arguably their riskiest draft pick of the group. A lot of boom or bust there. But he brings a legit speed element to that receiver room as well, which I think is important.
So wait a sec. So you think, so let's just run through real quick. Hold that take. I want to revisit that in just a second, John. So in case anyone hasn't downloaded it, reviewed it, taped it to their ceiling or their bathroom mirror, kissed it and left lipstick and soda pop marks on it, your New England Patriots draft class, not the undrafted free agents, not the UDFAs. We'll lean on Johnny Lyons for that in a second. And I do love me some good UDFA talk as well, John. It was Will Campbell, offensive tackle guard out of LSU, Travion Henderson, running back out of Ohio State, Kyle Williams, wide receiver, Washington State. That kid, hopefully on the field, is just the kind of bottle rocket he was up the draft charts the last few weeks. Center, Jared Wilson, University of Georgia, Craig Woodson, safety out of California, Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle, Florida State, Braden Swinson, defensive end slash edge out of LSU. That's two LSUs. So now we have to say go Tigers and go Pats. Andres Borgales, kicker out of Miami. Marcus Bryant, tackle, Missouri. Julian Ashby, long snapper, Vanderbilt. And Mr. Irrelevant himself, the final pick of the 2025 draft, cornerback Kobe Miner out of Memphis. I wasn't sure, John. I want to go back to your Kyle Williams take in a second, but I did want to add, this is a super Belichickian draft in a lot of ways. They got a long snapper and a kicker. It's such a Patriots draft. I love it. So you get a lot of your old vintage feels, but at the same time, it's new guys for a new era with a new tone and a new attitude. Ooh, 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 with Mike Vrabel and company. I think they played the board extremely well. And when you read things like Jared Wilson, like you mentioned him, might be your favorite pick. When a lot of people said, I can't believe he fell all the way to 95. How did somebody that had first round grades on most boards slip to 95 and the Pats got him? Huge pickup for them. And this Braden Swinson kid. I know, just like we've talked about with Will Campbell, if only sound bites, Instagram clips, and energy were able to translate into on-field effort and wins, then, you know, Will Campbell would be in the Hall of Fame. And this Braden Swinson kid, man, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but that dude's a vibe.
Yeah, and I think Braden Swinson, to me, I mentioned that Kyle Williams is maybe more their riskiest pick of the draft. Braden Swinson, I think, is the most interesting one, right? He played 591 snaps last year, Fitzy, which is more than 2022 and 2023 combined for him. So this is a dude that I think if he had played more the previous years, would have been drafted higher. And you can say the same thing about Jared Wilson, second team All-SEC last year, and it was his first year starting. So a guy who had he played more, I think would have been drafted higher. But I mean, Braden Swinson, he's got to get better against the run. Sometimes he feels like he's a little out of control when he gets off the line of scrimmage. I think some of that's a product of he hasn't played a lot. But that dude, I mean, 9 sacks last year, 43 quarterback hurries.
Nice.
The raw pass rushing talent is there and the skills are there. I just think he's going to develop. And you have Anfernee Jennings, you have Keon White on the edge. Milton Williams can even kick out and play the edge sometimes. So I think you have a guy in Braden Swinson that could develop into a, I think, legit passer. It just might take half a year or a year, but he's the most interesting pick I think they made the whole draft.
Yeah, and it's funny because so you had so many other edge rushers that, you know, you had comped, and I thought pick 38 was going to go to Donovan Ezeraku, the defensive end edge. You were pumping his tires accordingly, and I thought it was going to be too. Like, they signed Harold Landry for all that money. Ezeraku could be the new Harold Landry. He's a BC guy. They actually didn't really pump that BC pipeline much, except for the guard, I believe, that they took as an unsigned.
Conley, the undrafted free agent,
One of the UDFAs, the undrafted free agent. Didn't end up with Drew Kendall, didn't end up with Ozzie Trapio. He went to the Bears. I was telling some friends that are Bears fans this morning, got a good one there, great pedigree, great hustle, can play both sides as a tackle, so I bet he'll have a nice career. Bears also had an awesome draft as well. I'd probably give them an A as well. So the Jared Wilson's a great pickup. Braden Swinson, we hadn't heard, like, the Mike Greens got all of the who, what other edge rushers? Was it the one out of South Carolina, Texas A&M?
Like, Ezeraku was a guy that I thought they could have had. Yep. Had Abdul Carter fallen to four,
of course, Abdul Carter
taking him there. Yeah, sure. But I mean, I think to address edge late, this is an interesting way to go about it, because, like I said, the potential and the skills are there, and based off their defensive end and defensive tackle depth, I think he'll have some time to develop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So obviously my favorite pick is a running back out of the Ohio State University, who, if you guys have not seen, John described both he and Kyle Williams as having long speed. And if you haven't seen just what that long speed looks like from a running back who's just shifty enough, averaged over 7 yards a carry in the Big 18, which is basically what the Big 10 is at this point. He's faster than Jarvis Green-Ellis. Why do I say that? Because he never puts the ball on the carpet. Zero fumbles in his collegiate career.
Not a coincidence either. They took a guy with zero fumbles after Stevenson had seven lost.
Seven last year. I know. But again, that long speed, that sort of those, I would call it like a Robert Smith kind of gallop. If you haven't seen it or heard it before, folks, then here we go.
Howard, how aggressive will they be in the final seconds? Henderson can make a house call from anywhere. And look out! He just might do it! Travion Henderson gets the winner back for Ohio State.
What did these offensive linemen have? I mean, they don't have anybody for 25 yards. They're waiting to block somebody, and he's just kind of baiting the defense. Wait, it's almost like a punt return. He's waiting to see where the crease was, set up the blocks.
I mean, to me, that is just absolutely gorgeous. John, the New England Patriots, between he and receiver Kyle Williams, like you said earlier, have not had that, oh man, I guess we're going to have to game plan for that speed, kind of speed, at any level in as long as I can remember, man.
Yeah, and just a context too, those are Texas defensive backs he was outrunning on that play. Like, those are fast guys, and he is running away from them. And look, this is something the Patriots tried to do before. 2022, they drafted Tyquan Thornton. They drafted Pierre Strong. Really fast guys. You know, the famous, you know, quote, you know, get fast, draft fast.
Don't guys. Draft Baylor receivers.
Yeah. But I want to be clear. Like, these two guys are different than that, because Travion Henderson, in addition to just the long speed, is a good football player. And I know that's not deep analysis, but he's a really good pass protector.
That's why they pay you the big bucks. That's why you coach for 7 years.
Exactly. It was 8 years, Fitzy. But So it's not just the long speed with him, though. It's the pass protecting. It's the vision in space. It's making guys miss. He can even break some tackles as well. And like Kyle Williams, right, to compare him, like Tyquan Thornton, I remember when I was watching his film, he would get pushed around a lot, like at Baylor. Like, he was a great, you know, he had a lot of speed down the field, but he wouldn't stack back on top of defensive backs. He'd get widened to the sideline, or he'd have trouble getting off at the line of scrimmage sometimes. Whereas Kyle Williams might be the best release guy at the line in the entire draft.
I did read that, actually, John. Somebody said, not just sort of like, you know, any one of our commenters that are watching now as we record the latest Six Rings live on social.
Texas was the 7th ranked pass defense in the country, so you're welcome.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. a regular viewer on YouTube, Murith, said Chris Berman would call him Harry and the Henderson. I like that very much. Somebody said about Kyle Williams, and I got a clip I want to share to just tell you what kind of person Kyle Williams is, and how as they prioritize that nice blend, the intersection of talent and character. A couple people said, one I remember Saturday morning saying, Kyle Williams is the best. He's not the fastest receiver. He is the best natural separator in this draft. And as far as the person he is and why they may have been, you know, gushing over him as opposed to, you know, Jaden Higgins went earlier to the Texans. Perhaps they had some interest in him, but why they prioritized him, we'll say, over Jalen Noel or somebody else. I think this clip caught a lot of people's attention for the right reasons.
Time is never on your side. Just be yourself. You know, at the end of the day, people's going to accept you for who you are. You just your worth ethic, just everything. Just be yourself. And at the same time, the one thing that I live by is that your goals don't care how you feel. So if you want to chase something in life and you're tired or you're just feeling down, like, your goals are not.
I mean, again, the same way Mike Vrabel knew he was going to draft Will Campbell when he put him on his ass, when he put on the tackling suit down at the final visit to LSU a few weeks ago. I'm sure they probably saw that and were like, okay, there's our next wide receiver.
And that's been kind of a theme, right? Like, Will Campbell, high character guy. Craig Woodson was a captain. Like, there's, and I know, look, you're not going to win in the NFL with a bunch of choir boys, but you want high character guys. That's been a target of them, I feel like, this offseason. Like, you can put Robert Spillane in that conversation as well, high character guys. So it feels like that's part of this strategy. Like, it was athletic guys, but also high character guys as well. From all reports, it seems like Jared Wilson is that as well. So it just seems to me like character was not the be-all, end-all of this, but it was, I think, a significant part of their evaluation on a lot of these guys.
Now, you loved Andrew Makuba, the safety from Texas, right? Who,
yes.
Did he go right before or right after?
The Eagles got him in, like, the second round.
Yes, they, as a matter of fact, the Eagles got him 64th. So the Patriots, who picked 69th, were not able to get him. That's where they got Kyle Williams. Funny, somebody else, I thought the Patriots might be interested in wide receiver Isaac Tesla out of Arkansas, Pig Suey.
Well, and that's another part of
it. Went right after Kyle Williams did.
So, and Isaac Tesla had no drops his last season in college, whereas Kyle Williams sometimes had a little bit of an issue with that. And the Patriots chose Williams over Tesla, and they also chose not to trade up for Trey Harris, who went later in the second round. So the thing about Kyle Williams, and I'd say the same thing about Travion Henderson, feels like guys they targeted specifically that they wanted. Like, yeah, they're good football players, but it's not like, hey, we're going to trade down like last year and Jalen Polk's there, so we'll take him. It's like, no, we want Henderson. We want Kyle Williams. And those are guys. And I think you can say that with Joshua Farmer, too, a guy they traded up to get. Like, they had some guys in this that they specifically target. And that's something to monitor going forward, too.
Yeah, I hadn't heard much about Joshua Farmer. But then when I went back and watched his Senior Bowl tape, dude was running people over left and right. And it makes you wonder, hey, how did that guy slip all the way to day three? Craig Woodson, there's a clip. It's a little too long to share here on the podcast, but if you search up Craig Woodson, you'll see a clip come up of him talking to Andrew Callahan, recalling a play from his final game or his senior season at Cal. So not only, okay, it might be not the fastest safety, but definitely an attempt at finding an intelligent, rangy free safety, which they haven't had for a while because they have all these tank hybrid linebacker box safeties in Marte Mapu, obviously Kyle Duggar, and of course Jabril Peppers. So at least they're trying to acknowledge that they do need somebody in that regard. But you can see the intelligence is something that they're valuing, as well as the character and, of course, the athletic on-field ability. And John, I did want to share this again. Talking about Braden Swinson and how everyone went goo goo gaga for all these other edge rushers, this guy slips to the Patriots. I'm going to tell you what, first sack this guy gets, and he's going to have to go through Jennings. He's going to have to go through Landry. Keon White, who might be a completely different animal now on the field with a legitimate defensive line in front of him, as opposed to having to try to clean up and hold the line last year in absence of talent around him. This Swinson kid, man, once he finally gets a sack, wait till you see him pop off.
Patriots, no ball. That's all I know.
He was going off yesterday. He did an IG live shouting out Pats Nation. He was all over the socials yesterday. I just like, it's fun for us to talk football again, John, as it was with every fan that I talked to on the radio, people that I saw at the Northeast Sports Card Expo up in Portland, Maine, Saturday, thousands of fans, people coming over like, Fitz, I love the draft. My God, it's so fun to talk football again. There's actually hope in the air. You love seeing that kind of excitement, not only just to be a paid football professional, but also for someone to come to New England, just like Will Campbell talked about when he admitted telling Elliot Wolf last fall, like, I want to come play in Foxborough.
And it's been just under 4 months since the Patriots played their last game of the regular season, that wonderful win by Joe Milton and Gerard Mayo. And I got to say, Fitzy, they are a much better football team than they were then. And I know games aren't won in March and they're not won in April, but you take steps to winning games in March and April. And whether it's Vrabel, McDaniels, Terrell Williams, the free agent class, this draft class, this is a much better football team than just 4 months ago. And I think it's going to continue that way. And I think you're going to see a much higher level of football played by the Patriots this season.
Let's run through these guys again real quick before we get to maybe, you know, one or two other players you thought they may have grabbed or could have been on the radar, but ultimately weren't. So Joshua Farmer looks good. We'll see if he gets a little defensive rotational usage this year.
Second and third step, really powerful. Second, like, first step is obviously important for a defensive tackle, but when he gets moving, he's tough to stop, that second and third step.
Talked about Swenson. Borgalis is considered the best kicker, has long range as well. The Patriots needed a kicker. Joey Sly left on a free agency deal.
I went through, Fitzy, and this was a fun exercise. Historical weather reports, and Borgalis has only played in one game under 50 degrees, and it was at BC in November of 2023. One of two field goals there. So hopefully nice. Kick in cold weather. That's the only concern, because that dude's leg is electric. And honestly, yep. Third kicker they've drafted this decade. Let's hope it's the last.
I know, but like I wanted somebody else instead of Chad Ryland. That kick didn't kind of work out for them. Obviously, it worked out for him going to Arizona. Hope he has a nice career and everything else. Where were you when they took Justin Rohrwasser? Holy heavens, have mercy. Marcus Bryant, I don't know much about as a developmental tackle project as well. Obviously,
he has long arms.
He does. Yeah. Get out of here. How about that? You mean unlike Will Campbell, who, again, I'd love to share this. I'm telling you, if this kid can play like he delivers sound bites, he's going to be, whether it's at guard or tackle, preferably tackle, this kid's going to be something.
You see that there? I got Bass Pro Shot right there. Easy access. I'm going to be on my Matt Light time.
Okay, the fact that he knows that Matt Light, legendary left tackle of the first half of the double dynastic run, used to hunt turkeys outside of Gillette Stadium, he keeps saying things that make me like him more and more and more, John, and regret the fact that I wasn't hype about the pick.
Yeah, you can tell he's a Games with Names viewer. Hopefully he's a Six Rings and Football Things viewer pretty soon as well. And yeah, Marcus Bryant's an interesting one too, because he's 6'7", 320. 13 starts at Mizzou, because everybody talked about Armon Membu at Mizzou last year. This was the other tackle. His issue, and this is going to be a project for Doug Marrone, he doesn't bend well, which for an offensive tackle is really, really important. So that's going to be big. But he was first team all AAC back when that was a thing in 2023 when he was at SMU. So I think there is some potential there. There's a lot of measurables there. He's just got to refine that technique, and then maybe he can be your backup swing tackle.
And you know what? Also, let's remember, we're not sure how long Will Campbell's going to be playing tackle. We're not sure if the guard experiment is going to need to take place. Morgan Moses is on a three-year deal. Who knows if he sees all 3 years? We don't know what to say of Caden Wallace. The Patriots could very well need another tackle come 2026. That may be a little soon on his developmental track if he's going to work out as a pro, because Lord knows there have been so many other guys that have been drafted the last couple of years we thought would be developed into something else, but unfortunately they all turned into Andrew Stuber. Am I also not mistaken? You spoke with somebody associated with the new long snapper. Watch out, Cardona.
Yeah.
Julian Ashby out of Vanderbilt.
Yeah. You're not drafting a long snapper to have two on the roster. So I think their motivation here is that he's going to take over for Joe Cardona, unless he can't do it in training camp. We'll see. But yeah, I spoke with a Vanderbilt coach about him. He was only there 1 year. But I was told that Mike Vrabel and Jeremy Springer went to Vanderbilt a couple weeks ago, and had a private workout with him, and they were really impressed by him. Obviously, they targeted him. I mean, a long snapper is never usually someone that gets drafted. So they had the private workout. They liked him a lot. His traits and measurables, from what I've been told, are really good. He's a good character guy, which, you know, obviously that helps as well. So I think this seems like a guy that they view as a replacement for Joe Cardona. Sorry to say that, Joe, but it's just you don't have two long snappers on the roster. I think they drafted him because they want a long snapper on a rookie contract moving forward.
I get that. And of course, you're replacing the highest paid long snapper in the NFL right now as well, if indeed that is the case. Cardona still seems to be playing at a reasonably high level, but he's been around a while.
Cincinnati.
What's that?
Remember he forced that fumble against Cincinnati?
That's right. I forgot about that.
He's all year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beloved favorite, obviously a serviceman as well. It's an interesting pick right there. But again, super Patriots. Part of me also wondered, like, was that Vrabel, like, just tipping his cap to Belichick? Like, hey.
It was the ghost of Belichick.
The ghost of Bill Belichick making the draft pick. So as far as any other guys you thought that they didn't draft that you could have swore were going to be Patriots, anyone jump to mind, Johnny?
So, look, you know me. Trey Harris, Dylan Sampson, Andrew Mukuba, those are my three favorite guys in the draft. And, of course, the Patriots picked none of them. Lucky me. One other guy, though, the Bills actually picked up. I thought this was a nice pick, was Deone Walker, defensive tackle from Kentucky. I thought that would have been a nice fit from a run-stuffing angle for the Patriots. They obviously like Joshua Farmer instead. Mm-hmm. So that would be one guy later on I was kind of hoping they would target. But honestly, you look at this draft, I think they have a really good combination of solid, good football players. There's a little bit of risk in Kyle Williams, but I think it's acceptable risk. And then you got some guys with really good traits on day three that I think can, you know, develop. So I think it's a really top to bottom. It was a nice mix, and they're bringing in a big undrafted free agent class as well. So I think it's going to be a nice mix of young guys coming in.
Quarterbacks, offensive linemen, running back, wide receivers, a lot of UDFAs that they signed as well, and they were aggressive in their pursuit of the guys that they ended up signing. I did like also that Josh McDaniels said everyone that we have selected is going to have a chance to start, meaning if Kyle Williams, if it's going to be a meritocracy, if he proves he should be out there on the first team, he's going to be out there on the first team. Your Booties, your Bournes, your Diggses, and whoever else rehabbing and efforting with standing. Travion Henderson could very well be your starting running back, or he could work in a committee. Be interesting to see if he supplants Ramondre or if he works in tandem with him, or if he and Gibson swap in and out as a third down back pass catcher because he has good hands as well. I just love I love the possibilities. They didn't grab a tight end in what was a very tight end rich draft as well, but I think that having two very dependable middle to later part of their prime tight ends in Hunter and Henry, plus you never know what you get out of Jaheim Bell last year as well. So I don't know if there's much to be plumbed from him as well, Johnny. Just like with the receivers, Polk and Baker, maybe Vrabel and McDaniels want to see what they can get out of those guys before getting after more.
And they're going to have some interesting decisions to make because they have this big group of young offensive linemen and young wide receivers. So do they want to keep an extra O lineman than they normally would? Do they want to keep a seventh receiver on their active roster? Because if they do that, then maybe they only keep two tight ends, or maybe their safety room is a little bit smaller. Like, we'll have to see there. I was a little surprised they didn't take a tight end as well. Maybe they are. Maybe McDaniels is a believer in Jaheim Bell, or maybe they look at it as just something they can address next year. Because I think you mentioned an interesting point. Like, I think Travion Henderson is going to rotate in early, but mm-hmm. he has the skills to play on all three downs. Now, I'd like him to be a little bit better in between the tackles, but he has the skill set to play a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if at least by 2026, Kyle Williams is one of your starting receivers, Travion Henderson's your starting running back, and then you obviously have Will Campbell as one of your starting offensive linemen. So, and potentially Jared Wilson is your starting center. So I think this is a draft that these guys will have an impact in 2025, but I think also, and I would put Craig Woodson in this as well, 2026 could be a year where you see a lot of second-year players who come from this draft play a lot.
That is music to my Patriots loving ears. All right, quick rundown of the UDFAs before we wrap up our Draftermath podcast, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for jumping in the chat when we recorded live on a Sunday. Thanks for telling your friends to be a part of the fastest growing, most fun Foxborough fan community here on Six Rings and Football Things with your old pal Fitzy. And of course, Mego, Lions, Shime, and everyone else that we are privileged to have aboard the USS Six Rings. Ben Woolridge, quarterback, Louisiana. Cam Riley, linebacker, Florida State. Jack Conley, O-lineman, BC. Braden Crossley, cornerback, SMU. Lan Larrison, running back, UC Davis, the football factory that is. Demir Blankumasi, receiver, Memphis. That's not an easy one to say. Josh Minkins, safety, Cincinnati. Brock Lampe, fullback, Northern Illinois, somewhere Andy Hart is smiling. Cole Burdow, guard, Merrimack. Efton Kizem III, receiver, Eastern Washington. A lot of people think that this guy could very well be, he has punt return experience, broke Cooper Kupp's FCS record by catching a pass in 53 straight games, could very well get turned into a, that's interesting. And Wilfred Penne, defensive tackle, Vatek. Wait, oh my God, they signed more? Good Lord. G. Scott, tight end, Ohio State. C.J. Dipray, tight end, Alabama. Jeremiah Webb, receiver, as South Alabama. Jordan Polk, I don't know if he's related to Jalen, safety, Texas State.
Jordan Polk's an interesting one, by the way. 6'0", 190, pretty good speed. Look at this. Yeah.
They signed Brian Ganius, defensive tackle, Wake Forest. Dwayne Martin, fullback, Lou. Two fullbacks as UDFAs. Hector Johnson, defensive line, Endicott. John, this is basically Mike Vrabel saying, I got money, I'm going to spend it. I want to see some football players come in. We are going to have an open competition, and the best 53 are going to win the job, whether you got drafted, whether you just signed a big contract, or whether you're an UDFA that got $25,000 and took a phone call by the side of your pool.
Yeah, this reminds me kind of, Fitzy, of like 2010, where remember they kind of ripped the Band-Aid off and played a bunch of young guys in 2010, 2011. And at times, look, they were good. But at times, obviously, like their 2011 defense struggled a little bit or a lot bit at times. And their offense had a lot of young guys. Yeah, but it kind of reminds me of that time frame where you have, and I know May's only in his second year, but you have the established quarterback. And you have a lot, you have some prime guys like Hunter Henry's going to be that guy. Obviously you have Stevenson, you have guys in their prime on Wenu, but I think we're going to see much like 2010 and 11, they're going to be willing to play a lot of young guys and mix them in with veterans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be sink or swim for some of them, but I think it feels like this draft is good enough that a chunk of those young guys, I think, are going to contribute.
Yeah, I like the mix of the people that they kept on the active roster from 2024, the established veterans, the massively defensive-centric free agency class that they paid handsomely for, and of course this draft, which once again, we like very much, and most of the draft Knicks analysts and pundits across America seem to like as well. All right, Johnny, thanks for jumping aboard the Six Rings on a Sunday for a little bit of my favorite annual pod, the Draftermath, reviewing and recapping the Patriots' latest draft class, the 2025 NFL draft. I give it an A-. I'm only an A- just because, I mean, I want to get, I, all right, fine. I'm preventing everyone saying, of course, the Homer gives it an A. So I go A- just because you.
I usually don't give draft grades because I hate the exercise out of principle. But no, I will just say this, Fitzy.
High marks. High marks.
I said this earlier. They are a much better football team than they were in January. And I think they're a much better football team even than they were a week ago. This was a good draft. Make no mistake about it.
Can't wait to see how it plays out. Okay, folks, as the week progresses, we'll talk to some other folks to get their feel in-house and out-of-house as to how the draft went. We'll have Johnny on later on this week, this month, on a regular basis as well, to break down what the Patriots are doing, OTAs, minicamps, and so much just around the corner as well. But relax. Take a breath. We are through the draft. We are in the Draftermath. And take heart. No more mock draft talk for at least a week, maybe two if you're lucky. For The Real John Lyons, give him a follow at The Real John Lyons and your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens from Six Rings and WEEI Afternoons. Thanks for tuning in to the latest Six Rings and Football Things podcast brought to you by WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. Good day. God bless. Have an awesome week, everybody. And as always,
go Pats.